take real estate as a shot or as a fully stocked cooler? This is the 5 o'clock somewhere real estate investor podcast. We're bringing common sense back to real estate investment. So crack open your beverage of choice, sit back and relax, and allow us to learn you a thing or two.
All right, welcome back to another episode. It's 5 o'clock somewhere real estate podcast, and the way we're going, it's almost 5 o'clock. So I want to talk today about the trends in real estate.
We are sponsored by Title Assurance and Escrow, a title company here in Cordova that does all of our closings, title work, escrows, and we only use Title Assurance and Escrow. That relationship is very important because we can get things done for our investors quickly and easily. So to speak with Title Assurance and Escrow, call 901-737-3332. Ask for Chris or April.
I read an interesting article, and two of the trends caught my eye. The first one was moving to southern states. Apparently, there's a big exodus from up north and out west, and they're moving to southern states like Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Florida, because of the job opportunities. So the job opportunities are bringing people further south, which is a good thing, but on the flip side, that has created what we call a housing shortage. There's not enough housing for all these people that are coming in. Number of them are renters. Number two on that list was new construction. That there's a housing shortage and that new construction is becoming a popular item again. Instead of buying an older home and rehabbing it, new construction is becoming popular, which we are now involved in. We're building brand new 4-2 rentals around Memphis. Jeff, you got how many?
Five right now.
Five and Phil?
Well, with Phil, eight.
We got three right now listed with Phil.
And then I've got four with Terry. I just sold nine, and we've got a new Mario, your builder. He's got five we listed?
Yep, okay. Five.
So we've got a number of 20 brand new construction homes that are on their way up now. And these are 4-2 rentals that are going to rent MHA. You can pick them up. What are Phil's listed at? 160?
165, 167.
Okay. Mario's 165. Terry's 165. The unique thing is I know two of these builders are the 165 with a $5,000 builder credit. All of them come with a one-year builder warranty, and all of them will rent MHA for, what is it, $1,695 is the average?
About $1,700 average. $1,650 low end, $1,850.
If they've got income and have a partial voucher, you can get up to $1,800, but typically on a full voucher, Misha says she can get $1,600 all day long.
So, I got $1,950 for $185,000
Okay. So we've got a trend that's been happening, and we're seeing a lot in Memphis. I was unaware that this trend was happening around other parts of the South and other markets, like Little Rock. Certain parts of Texas, certain parts of Florida are seeing the same trend. And let's face it, in the last couple of years, we've put up a lot of brand new homes in these neighborhoods. I think, if I had to guess, probably Terry and Phil have probably put up over 60 or 70. Mario's probably put up about 20 or 30. Kenny's getting his off the ground. He's putting up a few now. That trend is going to keep going. So let's talk about the new construction. I mean, turnkey and new construction. The new construction homes are 4-2. They're running for $1,600, $1,695 a month. MHA, guaranteed income. If they're partial pay, it can go up to $1,800. And you can pay $165 for the house, get a $5,000 builder credit, brand new home, with a one-year builder warranty, which means everything in that home is covered for the first year. Your maintenance is pretty much zero.
The way they're building the houses are, I won't say indestructible, but they're very maintenance friendly. You know,
they're tenant proof.
We're not putting carpet in the house. We're nice decorative stained concrete slab that will cost you $0 for the entire life of that house. At worst, every 20 years you go in there and put a clear coat sealer on it. That is light years less expensive than replacing carpet every time you turn that property to a new tenant.
And personally for the tenant, I mean, concrete is easier to just sweep and call it a day.
It is.
And,
it's easier,
you know,
to
especially
clean
with
it,
kids and stains on carpet. It's a hassle.
Indoor air quality goes up because you don't have all the dust and muss that comes with carpet. It's just, it's a lot fresher and cleaner. granite countertops in these houses. We're not just dropping crappy Formica countertops in. Granite is literally indestructible.
Some of them.
The thing about the new construction that I will point out is, for some investors, it's a hard sell. But it's an easy answer to their question. Why would I go pay $160,000 to $185,000 for a new house when I could get a perfectly good rehabbed house for $130,000, $140,000? I'm like, well, and some of those rehab guys will offer a one-year build.
Terry does, yeah.
You know, and that's great. But at the end of the day, that rehabbed house is going to need work done, because not every rehabbed house is going to have a brand new roof on it. Not every rehabbed house is going to have brand new kitchen cabinets, brand new hot water heater, furnace, air conditioner.
Yeah. All Why that not stuff, spend the extra?
All that stuff is going to have to be replaced sooner than later on that $140,000 house. So you add all that
not
extra.
Not to mention the rehab didn't have to go through electrical, plumbing,
exactly.
HVAC,
brand new
structure inspections from the city.
So while there's nothing wrong with a $140,000 rehabbed house, just bear in mind that the amount of money that you're going to spend to maintain that is probably going to equal what you're not maintaining on a $185,000
house.
So
paid on front end.
So at the end of the, yeah, exactly. So you're not spending any more money. You understand what I'm saying? It's an even wash.
And, too, some
and
of these...
And it's just less of a headache.
Yeah.
And some of these rehabs... So I have a FHA client, or she can be conventional. Anyways, you know, women, we want the cute, pretty, aesthetic-y things, and I have to remind her, like, hey, it's nice, it looks nice, but let's keep in mind you could have something nice over some trash and not know what's up under,
right.
Obviously, until the inspection versus getting a brand-new build. You know everything is up to code. You know it's legit. Versus from the inspector point of view, the rehabs. Like you said, you're going to still be spending this money on the back end, replacing these things and fixing them back up. Just spend the extra thousands on the front end and
exactly.
Save back there.
But hey, if you want to buy a porta potty, you can call us. We'll help you find one, right?
We will.
We're not beyond it. We prefer to put our investors in a little bit of a more stable performing
asset.
It'd
just be less of a hassle for the investor.
You've only got one rule about that. Porta potty, mm-hmm. though, as long as it's not on a street named after a state.
That's right. As long as it's not on Mississippi Street or Tennessee Street.
Tennessee Street, Mississippi Boulevard,
yeah.
Kansas Street.
It's named after
Florida
a state.
Street.
You don't want it. So the new construction, we prefer, at least I do, new construction turnkey rehabs are because they're just great, solid, safe investments. So Terry's a builder. He's also a rehabber, and he puts a 1-year builder warranty on his rehab. So that's a plus. If you'll put a builder warranty on it, then you can get the same either way. I do have investors that buy fixer-uppers. Amisha's bought 4 in the last year that he's fixed up. And he's in them at 80 cents on a dollar with, you know, 15% gross ROI starting out. They're great investment opportunities. But it comes with pitfalls because now he's in the process of trying to refinance them out of hard money. Well, guess what's happened in the last year? It used to be worth 110. This year it's worth 95. So his refinance is hitting him where he's having to come out of pocket with about $8,000 to refinance one of them because values have dropped. And that's something we cannot control. We can't predict the future. We can't say market values are going to tank next year. They're going to go up next year. We can just kind of follow what the trends are. And in that case, Amish still has 2 good investments, but he's coming out of pocket with some cash now because the market value dropped before he was able to refinance. So they all come with negatives, and they all have positives. I think new construction and turnkey, if I was a 29-year-old guy just getting into investing for the first time, I'd go get a lender to approve me for a couple hundred grand, and I'd go buy a turnkey or a new construction home. On your first couple of ones, get ones that aren't going to require lots of out-of-cash repairs and maintenance and constant issues. Get your feet wet, understand the market, and then dive off into these little projects that you find that you want to jump into.
Worst case scenario, Amish can sit on the property. He's got a tenant in it. It's cash flowing, and he's
hard money though is eating him alive.
That bad right now for those three properties?
His note's pretty steep on hard money. I mean, you're paying 11.5%. So his goal was to refinance out at about 6.5% once he got the work completed. But the values have dropped, so now he can still refinance them out, but he's got to come out of pocket with like $8,000 a property.
Well, it's going to wash out at the end of the day, though.
He'll make it back, yeah. But my point is that in the rehab business, if you're using hard money, that is one of your caveats. That's one of your problems, one of your alligators, is that the market shifts. And you may buy it today saying it's worth $130,000. I'm going to put $30,000 into it, borrow hard money, and I'm going to be all in at 130 when I'm done. I'm going to refinance it out. Well, wait, then all of a sudden the market shifted for 2 months and now the house is worth 135. Well, guess what? In order for you to refi to your hard money, you're going to be paying some of that off out of cash out of your own pocket. Or you're going to be paying that high hard money loan for, you know, until it changes.
And I really do agree with you on new investors starting with, you know, like new builds, turnkey too.
Simple, easy cash flow properties, mainly new builds
because, like you said earlier, they're not profiting that much. So when something does go wrong, it's going to take months and months of you saving those hundred bucks here and there, and you're going to end up coming out of pocket. You know,
I encourage all new investors, if you don't have experience in investing in single-family residential rental properties, going with turnkey and new construction is the key, because you can get into a safe, solid investment that's cash flowing over 1% with a warranty on the work. And, you know, you've got a few years before that oh shit's going to hit you, where you're going to have to come out of pocket and get this fixed or get that fixed. But by then, you've got, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 in reserve account built up, or $5,000 in your reserve account. So you're not really coming out of pocket. You just take that rent money that you've been putting aside and pay for the repairs or pay for whatever you need. The trick is, at the end of the day, is that 20 years from now, you pay the loan off and the house is worth $200,000 and you have a $200,000 asset paid for. And if you were smart and you multiply that times 10, guess what? You've got 10 homes worth $200,000. Now you've got $2 million, $3 million in assets paid for. That's a trick. So let's talk about the rent numbers a little bit, because I get a lot of questions from people about that. I'm a fan of MHA for one reason. MHA always pays over market for rent. If a house, if a 3-2 in a neighborhood rents for $1,300, guarantee you MHA is going to pay $1,450. So that has caused a lot of investors to come to MHA, to migrate to MHA, and we've managed to link up with Amisha and a couple other people that do that. So what do you think, Jeff, as far as the rent? What do you think is going to happen this next year? We saw a little bit of a dip because we didn't have a lot of movers.
In our business, high rents are good, but my concern is, how long are we going to be able to sustain that? You'd mentioned in a previous episode, when you moved to Memphis 18, 19 years ago, you were renting for $550 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That same house today will cost you $1,800 a month. There are a lot of good working class blue collar jobs in this city: FedEx, AutoZone, Amazon, Nike, all that good stuff, International Paper. But I don't see salaries and wages going up to keep up with these rents. And I know MHA is, you know, typically, you know, 5-10% higher than what you could get from a private management company, but I mean, $1,850 is a lot of money for rent, and we're telling our people that that's going to go up $50 to $100 every year. I cannot see somebody working at FedEx driving a forklift for $22 an hour going from $1,800, granted some of it's assisted rent, to 3 years from now, $2,200 a month in rent.
No, this
got to stop. Got to level out somewhere.
I think we'll have a temporary plateau. The Memphis housing market or rental market is like a rubber band, right? We'll see a big jump in values, and rents are still back here. And then over the next 4 or 5 years, that rubber band will snap, and then the rents will catch up with the values. And then we'll go through another period where the values keep going up, rents kind of stagnate, and then all of a sudden it rubber bands and it catches up. We've been in a weird situation where MHA has repeatedly just raised rents year in and year out. And some of them, I mean, hell, there's a house on Hanley that went for $1,900 a month MHA rental, 4-2.
I'm getting $1,950
right
a block over.
Now, I think once we hit that $1,900, $2,000 range, you're going to watch that stall. And then you're going to find an investor who has a $160,000 house they purchased 5 years from now, still renting for $1,600, $1,800 a month, but now all of a sudden it's worth $200,000, $225,000. Then they sell it, but their problem is they're going to have to sell it for either UNROC to make the equity out of it, or they're going to sell it for $200,000 to it produces 1% for the buyer. And you'll watch those values go up, you'll watch the market increase, and the rents will stay back here, and then all of a sudden it'll just pow, it'll pop, and all of a sudden rents will start jumping again. But that rent jump always is accompanied with increased earnings, increased pay, increased hours, When the job market and the average pay goes up, then the market rents start to increase. When they're down or they're kind of level, rents stay level. But it never stops the growth of the property in value.
No, I understand that. It just seems like they're getting a little bit out of hand. I don't know if it was because of all
this. Well, 2009, when they raised my rent to $1,100, I'm like, you mean people are freaking insane.
Well, you know, the other thing is I'll have a young investor start questioning the equitable value in the house because, let's face it, we're not building these things in Germantown and Carrieville. We're building them in what?
Let me ask you something. Hold on. Let's pose this out there. So let's say I buy a house today. I spend $150,000 for it. It's rented for $1,600 a month. And over the next 10 years, my rent goes $1,700 a month. I'm getting out of it. But now I only owe the bank $120,000, $115,000. Another 10 years go by, and I'm barely getting $1,900. I still only paid $150,000 for the house. I now only owe $80,000 for it. The investment is still solid. It's still a great investment, even though the only time rents affect your rental income is if you're buying today. That's why the 1% is so important. If you start out at 1%, it's only going to grow from there, period.
No, I understand that, right. But I'm talking about, I want to just go off topic just for a second. I'm talking about the actual value of the houses, and I get it. These houses that you're turnkeying right now for $130,000,
$140,000,
I was buying these things 30 years ago for
Damn,
20.
Jeff sounds like my grandpa. Back in my day.
I was buying these things for $25,000, $30,000, right. Putting $10,000 in them and retailing them for $75,000. Now,
my house that, my dad bought when I was a kid, he paid $18,000 for it. Same neighborhood. Today, the house is worth $192,000.
I understand what you're saying, but just hear me out.
Did you know a movie was a nickel back in the day? You can buy a loaf of bread for 2 pennies?
Now, hear me out. I get it. The houses have doubled in value over 30 years. But when I tell an investor that I've got a $185,000 brand new house in Orange Mound, and he drives through Orange Mound, now we look for opportunities
right. That
they don't recognize. Every other house on the street's rehabbed, flipped, but the other half is still bad.
Right.
Every neighborhood goes through a cycle. It goes through a growth cycle, a stable cycle, where it declines and deteriorates.
So does the stock market. So does bonds. So does crypto.
Then the next generation comes in and starts what we're doing all over again. The young investor's concern is he just can't see that $185,000 house being worth $300,000 in Orange Mound 30 years from now.
I mean,
we talked
earlier about education and research. Anybody getting into this business, go back and look at the real estate research and document the documented data of real estate over the last 100 years.
Well, my short dumb.
If you look at that, then it's pretty easy to predict that, yes.
Well, yeah. Well,
unless we get hit with a nuclear weapon and just flatten America.
My short dumb answer to him is, yes, I think that house in 30 years in Orange Mound, of all places, will be worth $300,000. But bear in mind, the $250,000 house that I built in 2009 is now will be $1,000,002. So yeah. everything's relative.
But it's all based on,
as far as trends in real estate go, everything's relative.
But as an investor, when you buy, you pay $100,000 for a house, and you have that house and you mortgage it, and you rent it for $1,000 a month this year, and then 2 years from now you're at $1,200, and 5 years from now you're at $1,300, $1,400. What difference does it make? Your cash flow and your equity is growing year in and year out, and your debt service is shrinking. That is a perfect scenario for a great investment.
I'm going to tell you right now.
If you look at it from that perspective and get away from this, I'm going to get one house and quit my day job, that's smart investing right there.
I'm going to tell you and every especially new investor that's listening to us right now, I'm not in it for the cash flow. I don't care if I cash flow the property. I'm looking at the long-term equity. That's all I care about.
And that's how it should be.
I'm cash flowing enough to build a reserve to cover my maintenance costs. That's all I care about. I don't care about taking $200 a month from 100 properties and going out and buying a, 42-foot yacht. I'm interested in the equity.
Now I'm disappointed, Jeff, because That'd be the one thing I would buy. That'd be the one dumb thing I would do.
One thing and I want to say.
But if I did that, the market would tank, and I'd lose my 100 properties and the yacht. So not going to do that.
Not as long as you hang on to them.
I invest in the bond market now. I don't buy the high risk stocks anymore like I used to.
I wouldn't either.
I'm a bond guy. I'm a 3% return on my money bond guy right now.
Piggyback on off of Jeff, just a side note, when you were saying like, you know, rent, where's the cap? Like, where does it stop? Imagine the renters that aren't going through MHA and they have to do a rental application and they want you to make 3 times the rent. Like, yes, you may be getting paid more, and yes, rental prices are going up more, but are you really getting paid enough to accommodate the rental price?
Yeah, like, that's my concern.
Much? Like, that's no, been it's not going up that much.
Question in politics for the last.
Yeah,
50
I mean,
years.
It'll never probably be answered, but you're never.
Yeah, that's always
getting
been my
increase
concern.
For work, as much to cover what the rent prices are increasing.
Well, I mean, listen, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're not discovering some rare metal that's never been discovered before. We're doing the same thing people have been doing for the last 100 years.
I mean,
we just happen to be in this business now.
I mean, I think we're providing a great service. We're putting people in affordable housing that otherwise couldn't, you know, wouldn't have anywhere to live. I mean, not everybody can afford to buy a house.
And nice houses.
Well,
you know. In our business, you may consider your investor the most important person in your business. But I'm telling you, the most important person in our business is the tenant. Without the tenant, we're the investors.
It doesn't matter.
So, Jeff, why do you think Memphis is important as an investment location?
The reason why people from all over the country and the world seek Memphis as a rental investment is because it's one of the most stable markets in the country. And I say that because when we dip 3-5%, and we bounce back quicker than any parts of the nation. We're not a buy a house in California for $50,000 and 2 days later it's worth $6 million. We don't have those kind of dips. You're never going to buy a $50,000 property in Memphis, Tennessee and sell it for $200,000 a year later.
That's right.
This is long-term stability income. 54% of the houses owned in this city are rented. That's half of a 700,000 population. It's a great blue-collar working-class town. FedEx, Amazon, Nike.
You name it. Any company in the world's got a distribution place.
We're the distribution capital of the world because we're centrally located. These aren't high-paying jobs. These are good, stable jobs. People making $65,000, $70,000 a year. A lot of them can't buy houses because they've got credit issues. That's why they rent.
But doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, even during COVID. FedEx, Nike, every one of these companies had to keep operating, and those people got up every day and went to work. They were one of the few people that kept their jobs, kept working, kept paying their rent. MHA kept paying rent through the COVID when a lot of the people were losing money.
Well, when the COVID was going on and landlords all over the country were screaming about, I can't get my rent, I can't get my rent. And a lot of them lost that rent. Some of them got the government to help them out with it, but a lot of them lost that income. Memphis sustained the least amount of that loss because of all these jobs. It doesn't matter what happens. They got to go on.
So that does set Memphis is a unique market.
That sets Memphis apart from everywhere else. You can't do this in Nashville, Dallas, Austin, Raleigh, North Carolina. It doesn't work. It may work in some other parts, but it doesn't work in those areas. It works best here.
So my answer to that is a lot of these investors are from out of town. And I personally feel like Memphis is a little more on the cheaper budget compared to California, Florida. So their mind, they're like, well, I get paid X amount of money, which is a lot. Let me invest somewhere where the prices are already doable to where I'm making more profit than what I could if I was living in Cali and investing in Cali.
Absolutely. Memphis, you can still buy $120,000 house that rents for $1,200, $1,300,
$1,400 a month. I've got clients, AutoZone executives that are transferring from California. They're selling a 3,000 square foot house for $2.7 million. I'm taking them out I take these guys out to Eads, Tennessee. They buy a 7,000 square foot house on 10 acres and pay $900,000 for it. Just cash. They're dipping into their AutoZone stock, and they're just laughing all the way to the bank.
They're leaving with the steal.
He told me my boss didn't even need to give me a raise. As soon as I moved to Memphis, I got a raise.
They're leaving with the steal. You get more space for a cheaper price, more rooms. I posted our listings, mm-hmm. you know, the address, price, and I, you know, posted a little snippet of the video and one of my Florida friends.
You got a showing on two of them today.
One of my friends from Florida, because I'm a military brat, I moved here from Pensacola. Pensacola is not a big city, but it's still in Florida. And her comment said, wow, girl, we cannot find these prices in where we stay. Right. And I was like, yeah, you're not going to.
What we do here would... We would fail in Florida trying to do it.
And this is
here.
A brand new build for $165K, three mm-hmm. beds, two baths. They're not going to get a brand new build with $165K in Florida.
Memphis has some of the most, you know, moderate housing prices in the country.
The moral of the story is Memphis is great because if you buy whatever you buy, you can rent it. We got 340,000 renters out there, so you can easily rent your property for market or better. And if you're using MHA, that's even better because they're going to pay more.
Yep. And if you're an out-of-town investor, it's even better for you.
That's right. All right, so let's recap. There's two ways to do this. Either A, you can listen to that clown in California and go buy 10 homes and quit your day job and hope that you're going to be able to pay your bills. I'm telling you, you're not. You're going to go bankrupt. Or you buy homes and you buy rental properties for long-term investing, for equity, increased cash flow, and eventually be able to cash them out and do whatever you want with that. Buy an apartment complex, retire, buy a boat, whatever you want. There's two ways to do it. So hopefully you will reach out to us at 901-692-7401 or go to mymemphisinvestmentproperties.com. Check out the properties we have and what's available. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Again, 901-692-7401. Thanks for listening.
For more common sense real estate tips, listen and subscribe at 5oclocksomewherepodcast.com. The 5 O'Clock Somewhere Real Estate Investor Podcast is a Sound Ideas Group production.